SEN America, this is the SEN MLB podcast.
Welcome to SEN Baseball. We're, of course, into the Major League season. We're 25 games into the season. Before we start getting to all the stats and details, gossip and innuendo, I'd like to introduce my first co-host today, Justin Charles. JC, welcome.
Good morning, Fritter.
How are you, mate?
Fantastic.
Also joining us behind the mic, former LA Angel, Brennan Wilson. Willow, welcome.
Morning, Gary.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Glad to be back.
Enough of the Gary. Stick to the real ones, thanks. We're going to get straight into MLB stuff. Of course, the leaders in all sorts of different ways, Chicago White Sox, Orioles, Chicago Cubs, and Nationals. And, of course, the area I like focusing on is the worst teams in baseball, Minnesota Twins, Houston Astros, Atlanta, surprisingly.
Says a lot about you, Fritter.
It does. I like the losers, mate. I like the underdogs we've got, the Atlanta Braves and San Diego Padres. Let's start with the leaders first and where they're all at. Of course, we did touch on it last week, JC, with the Chicago. What a buzz it must be in the city there with the White Sox and the Cubs doing so well. Chicago White Sox 16-7 and Chicago Cubs 16-5 win loss. Really must be a buzz in that city right now.
No doubt. And look, the White Sox have just tailed off a little in the last week. They ran into a red hot Boston Red Sox. So I don't actually like the White Sox too much. There's something
really
about their field. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, but
you've got to give me more
glad
than that. It can't be the field.
It's just a feel thing. No, a feel.
Oh, feel.
A feel thing. And I don't like the park that they play in. Like it plays long at times with the conditions there. It's not a good hitter's park. It seems like, you know, you'll tune in even midsummer. It can still be cold there.
Yep.
And I'm a Cubbies fan too.
We have noticed that, of course.
And must, they are red hot at the moment.
You
hottest
must be
team
pretty
baseball.
happy. Jake Arrieta, of course, pitcher of the month. For the first month, went 5-0 with an ERA of 1.
Well,
phenomenal.
Arguably pitcher of the last 18 months. I mean, he's
lights
out. And what I love about Arrieta too is just his, I mean, you just look at his physical shape, you know, his strength and conditioning, his commitment to getting himself right. Just all his preparation, it's just an absolute pleasure to watch. And when he grabs the ball, you know it's win day.
Mm, absolutely. We talked about this before, but he is a specimen. He's an athlete. Mm-hmm. He's not what we call the big burly guys. You know, he is an athlete.
He's ripped.
He moves really well. He's almost flawless in a sense of getting his body in the right position. It doesn't always look or have to look pretty, but he gets his body into the great position of release, and it's a power position using that athletic body.
That's a good point, Willow, being a pitcher. What are your thoughts? He sort of steps across his, he throws across his body a little bit. How do you see that mechanically?
I think as long as you get at the point of release to the right position, so it doesn't matter whether you pitch with it across your body or you're open. You talk about drawing a T and putting your foot in the middle of the top of the T and landing within a shoe print of either side. He's probably two or three shoe prints to the right-hand side, you know, right across his body. But he hides the ball. That adds to his prowess as a pitcher,
that he is
hiding the ball. He throws four quality pitches, and they come from the same angle and the same height.
Yeah,
he doesn't change
tough.
Anything, so it's very well hidden.
Good point.
And as long as he's getting to an athletic position upon release, he's not going to have any trouble.
And Chris Sale, of course, for the White Sox. We're just making some reference there. Been absolutely dominant.
Yeah, the White's out.
And the Cubs, there is no doubt the Cubs are the get all the focus, seems to go Cubs' way. Wrigley Field, Madden.
Prospects.
They've got all this.
Young.
And the White Sox tend to just go about their business without all of the notoriety. But Chris Sale's been phenomenal for them.
Yeah, they've snuck up. They've really snuck up, haven't they? They've sort of just been plodding along behind the scenes, haven't been really getting much of much fanfare, but just grinding it out. And their pitching's been, well, arguably the best across the board in the American League this year so far. Interesting to see if they can maintain the rage. It's only early.
Maintain the rage, yes.
You know, Chris Sale may not lose a game, though. He is freak. Left-handed,
and tough.
Just nasty stuff.
Angular.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
What is he like? 97 miles an hour from
19
slinging.
Foot tall, and just he throws the ball from about 10 feet away. I mean, he is
disgusting.
Going to be a challenge here, and he just gets better and better. Like, and he's only a young guy.
Washington Nationals, of course, just going about their business with... what did I say? They got a 14-7 win-loss as it sits right now. Strasburg, Bryce Harper, of course, named Player of the Month. Hang on, I'll just get his numbers. Where are they here? I've got them. 23 hits, 271 average, 9 home runs, 24 RBIs. Really, Bryce Harper is the meat in that order.
But you look at their last 10 games, they're 5-5, and you look at Bryce Harper's average at 265.
Yeah, he's tailed off.
Just had a couple of quiet games, and all of a sudden they're not firing. So it's
interesting you say that, Willow, because he has tailed right off after the first 30 days.
Yeah.
And for him, been slumping.
Well, yeah, I mean, but we're talking about, we're sort of weighing up against a couple of grand slams, phenomenal month with a lot of home runs.
Yeah, the first month, I mean, he was phenomenal, but we're talking about, what are we at now, the 8th, 7th or 8th of the month?
Yeah.
This last week, he's tailed right off, and I take Willow's point, the Nationals' results have tailed right off as well.
Yeah, he's a real barometer for that team, there's no doubt. And just about every big league team has somebody, they're playing well, they win. Mm-hmm. They have a down day, they don't win. You know, I mean, that sort of, or sport, not just baseball, but sport in general.
And they've been
just
close,
at the moment,
they've
it's
been
with
close
the Nationals.
Games too that they've lost. You know, they've been in every game. They haven't been blown out.
That's it. I mean, their record is still fantastic, but just you just notice that equal 5-5 record in their last 10. Just on the Nationals, Daniel Murphy
went goodness.
4-4 or 4-5 today, took his average back up over 400. So he's every year there seems to be a hitter that will stick around the 400 mark for the first 20 or 30 or 40 games.
But this is Murphy from the Mets last year.
Daniel Mets Murphy. Last year now. And I just wanted to mention him because I saw a Mets game last year and he prepared himself for the three games that I saw for over an hour and a half before the game just with stretching. So he'd done all his hitting, they'd done their BP, had his throw, gone for a run, he had the rollers, the bands out there, and that's, we talk about athletes, I mean, these guys just know how to prepare. Warwick mentions it when we talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, these guys, the big league guys, they know how to prepare. There's a lot more that goes into playing baseball every day than just showing up, eating a hot dog and rolling the arm over. It's phenomenal to watch what these guys do, and now he's hitting 400, which is just amazing.
Yep.
Glad you mentioned him, like, you see him, every at-bat means something. Every pitch means something to him. He's in every single at-bat. You know, we saw, he's knocked a triple. He's sliding in and he's pumped up after, you know, after it happens. And he's a gamer. He's a real baseball player. No, but he loves it. Clearly, it's been a great trade. It's been a great move for him. He was working with... the hitting instructor for the Yankees that went to the Mets. Is it Howie Long? His surname's Long.
Is it Terrence Long?
No, not Terrence.
That's not wrong.
He worked with him, and remember he got hot through the playoffs there. He couldn't get the ball past him and he was hitting home runs. Whatever he wasn't pulling for a home run, he was hitting for a line drive the other way through the... through the playoffs, and he's sort of maintained that, hasn't he?
He has. It's ridiculous to see that a guy can have 3 or 4 months off. You talk about MVP years and just continue doing it, but he's been a 400 hitter for his last probably 150 at-bats, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah. We did touch last, can't remember if it was last week or the week before, just regards to expansion is an area that is being considered in baseball. The rule changes, of course, is a number of rule changes, and the game is forever wanting to expand into different areas. And a couple of weeks ago, it was mentioned possibly going into getting the Expos up and at it again, Montreal, and possibly Mexico. So we just happened to have a grab from Rob Manfred yesterday at a White Sox game, and here's what he had to say about that possible expansion.
I think baseball is a growth business, and growth businesses tend to expand. We have a couple of franchises, Tampa and Oakland, that need to get their stadium situations resolved before we move ahead. Once we're past that, I would love to see us expand. I think there are international locations. My personal sort of front runner would be either Montreal or Mexico City, where we could go play on a sustained basis. And I think it would be great for the growth of the game. I think Mexico City in particular would be new ground for us, obviously.
Interesting take. Of course, as I said, it was touched on a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember who actually raised the issue, but we did discuss it here with Scott Nealis, of course, who from Home Run Sports, homerunsports.com over in Canada. He's been helping us out with Toronto Blue Jays games over there. And he suggested that he would love to see the Expos back in baseball because they're so fanatical about their game up that way. But the weather's an issue. Have either of you guys been up that way with your baseball careers?
No, well, I haven't personally, but I've played with some guys from up there, and they always talk about hitting indoors all the time and never getting to play catch over a long distance and never getting to play in the elements, and then all of a sudden it's windy and they don't know what to do and so forth.
Yeah.
Just because of the elements. So that's going to be a huge factor in if Major League Baseball do decide to go back there.
Of course, Montreal would have to be an indoor stadium because, again, the weather conditions, you wouldn't be able to play all year round. And crowds, there's a lot of factors also have to be weighed up, but I just found it interesting that Commissioner of Baseball has put the topic on the table and for public consumption. Just a couple of stats-wise, for example, Tampa Bay, they're averaging around the 16,500 people at games, and the Oakland A's, who have been notorious for getting some poor crowds at the Coliseum, they're 18,500. Surely Mexico would be able to, I think you mentioned off air. You'd mention off air, Brendan. They could build a 200,000 seat stadium and pack it. The interesting thing, of course, it all comes down to bottom line figures. Do they have the facilities to play it there? But do you think it's a good thing, this expansion of baseball and possibly going to 32 teams?
Look, I think Rob Manfred is going to go down as one of the best commissioners that's ever been. I think he's really intelligent. I think he sees the big picture, and I think he's got a plan.
Yep.
And I think he's very reasonable. We've seen, the way he's handled Pete Rose and other issues within the game. And I think he's going to go down as one of the more exceptional commissioners. However, I'm all for expansion, but not expansion for expansion's sake. Mm. I think it needs to be organic. That you grow when you're ready to grow, and I'm not sure the talent can't be diluted. And as what's happening in the AFL, and Kevin Sheedy was all for expansion, but expansion for the sake of expansion,
yeah.
And it's diluted the competition. And then what we've got is the AFL concessions and administering these teams into competitiveness at the expense of other teams, with concessional draft picks and things like that. And I'm not 100% all over that.
You're not convinced that, well, it's a good thing?
Well, because commissioners or people in charge want to leave their mark on the game, right? And
I was going to go.
Yeah, so how do you leave your mark? Well, you expand the game, and then when you look back, Rob Manfred expanded the game.
And
you
it know, was probably, but if it was a good know, move, yes. But it,
yeah, right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Don't expand for expansion's sake. It's got to be organic, and it can't be at the detriment of other clubs.
You've played sport at the highest level. Does it dilute?
Well, that's what I'm
quality.
Saying. Yeah, absolutely.
So Bunnies, well, like me, would get a game.
Well, more, maybe not so much with baseball because...
Maybe not me. You. Thanks.
Maybe not so much with baseball because we've got such a, so many countries and so much, talent involved.
Yeah.
But certainly in AFL, it has certainly diluted the competition.
Yep.
Certainly diluted.
It's important to note, though, that he did highlight that there's a lot of things that need to be fixed before he does do that. He wants to get the stadium issues sorted,
right,
and make sure the teams are in the right places. They've already talked about Tampa Bay moving, so it might not be expansion. It might be a move. They need some stadiums. Oakland's got a stadium issue. Tampa Bay's got a stadium issue. So
right.
I think he highlights them. But the good thing about Rob Manfred is that he gets the issue. He gets the feel of the public, and he identifies it and talks about it, and then leaves it open for discussion, and that he does act quickly as well. So you'd like to think that maybe they are going to step in and sort out the Oakland stadium issue so that they can get on to the next thing, which is good for baseball.
Last point, we're going to move on. Yep.
Yeah, last point around that. I think it's important to pick a city that can sustain baseball.
Because absolutely,
I'm not convinced Montreal's the right place. I mean, they've touted maybe Mexico. is that's probably a better baseball, be able to support baseball being a baseball culture.
Yeah.
But
of course, they did have one at the Expos, and that moved off to be the Washington Nationals. So,
that's right.
So that was due to the lack of interest from up that way, lack of support. It's a good point. Moving on, Joe Girardi, New York Yankees manager, has raised the point of banning the shift. Now, I'll explain what the shift is. Your regular fielding positions on a baseball field, if there is a guy and a lot of players are dead pull, dead push, whatever it be, generally a dead pull hitter, the manager will move his team around so that everybody's predominantly to the pull side of the diamond, depending right-hander, left-hander. And it cost a player no hitter during the week, the shift in baseball. That came about with Ted Williams back in the day because he was just such a dead pull hitter. Should they ban the? Should it be a banned number or just ban it in total?
That cost his own pitcher the shift that he put on, though.
Yep.
So he's using it. So if he doesn't believe in it, then don't use it.
Yep.
Because it's completely up to him what they do. So you pitch, you set your field, you set your team to the opponent.
Yep.
Every day with every part of baseball. And that's just part of it. It's just part of the game now. It's been going on for 20, 25 years. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But that's not to say that if he didn't have a shift on earlier, if the guys were playing regulation, that another ground ball wouldn't have got through.
I think more Girardi's point is that philosophically, he doesn't think it should be in baseball, but he's not going to not do it himself if the opposition can do it. He wants it sort of everybody, a blank rule right across baseball, Charles.
What do you do? Define meterage or feet that a guy can move? Like, I mean,
just don't go on the other side of the bag.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you know what? Here's the thing, and I think this highlights the case as well, is that even a manager like Joe Girardi, Joe Madden, any manager, they're not making decisions in isolation.
No.
You know, gone are those days.
They've been around the game too long.
But obviously, you know, these guys have got standing in the game and they'll get what they want in the end, but they've got a whole bunch of statistics, sabermetrics and other assistants helping make those decisions. And so it'd be one voice amongst his committee on whether we do this or not. So, but me personally, I can see the merit in banning it.
Yeah.
How do you ban it? You've got to have two either side of the either side of second base.
Either side of the bag, yeah.
Yep. But then we see, you know, when we've got the winning run on third base with one or none out, bottom of the ninth, and then we see them bring the outfielders into the infield. Do we ban that as well? I think that's a great strategy to keep the game alive. You know, you've got a sinker ball pitcher or a ground ball pitcher. The game's on the line. And is that a shift? I mean, of course it's a shift. You're bringing in outfielders to play in the infield. So
modifying rules like that takes away from what we call baseball's the game of inches.
I agree.
Like
it's
taking away from those things. An inch, like anything can happen in the game of baseball with that such small margin. And tampering with more rules or tinkering with more rules is taking away.
It's a fine line.
Just let them go.
How much is enough?
Let them go.
You've used it as a manager before.
Yeah, I have. There's one time, Aaron Green at Williamstown, left-hander, always pokes the ball to the left side, and we stacked. But you know what? At our level, at Division II level, it gets in the head of the hitter.
Yeah,
you know, and it's very effective.
I have my own personal take on a lot of these things. I think we should ban the DH. I think we should ban the shift. I think we should ban a lot of things. Here in Australia, not overseas, let them play with their own game. But here in Australia, you know, we're just not that good. Let guys get credit for their hits if they are able to. Just my personal opinion on all of this. I'm not sure the intentional walk. I think we should get rid of that too. Throw it, guys. You know, if we're any good, the guys will go over and play pro ball in America. But generally, a guy at club level and a manager decides to intentionally walk him, I think it's just crazy.
There's ways around that, by the way. Catcher up in the opposite
batter's
box.
Personal opinions, just the way I look at it. Look, we've got to go to a break, but straight after the break, we're going to go to one of Australia's best at the moment from the Detroit Tigers, Toledo Mudhens, Warwick Saupold. Stick with us, you're on SEN Baseball.
Baseball Victoria are a proud sponsor of SEN Baseball. For more information and to join your local club, visit their website at www.baseballvictoria.com.au.
And a fly ball to center, and fighting the sun, and I believe holding on is Cameron Maybin. Yes, he got it. That's a good play, fighting the sun and having to dive, and a great play there. And that is the inning. And yes, the pitcher of record now is Warwick Saupol.
And welcome back to SEN Baseball. On the line we have from the Detroit Tigers, more importantly Toledo Mud Hens, we have Warwick Saupol. Warwick, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, going great. Listen, I want to start back with, of course, you're part of the Perth Heat with the Australian Baseball League. So you pitched with them last summer. Then you moved on to the World Baseball Classic Qualifier, which was in Sydney, and Australia did really well there in qualifying for the World Baseball Classic. Now you're having a really good season there at Toledo at the AAA level. Do you think it was that sort of, I'll call it an extended spring, where you played all over the summer and leading into spring training, do you think that's led to your pitching success so far?
Absolutely. I'm fortunate enough to be able to go home and have some time off and enjoy the nice summer again in Australia, and then get it going leading up to spring, around that January, February time. So I'm very lucky enough to get some mound time and face some hitters before I fly to Florida and get it started for spring training.
Hey, Warwick, Justin Charles here. So have they given you any indication of when a call-up might be imminent?
No, not yet. You don't really hear too much. It's just kind of if they need a guy, then and if it sets up to be you and they like what they see out of you, and then you get that phone call, you get that tap on the shoulder and get called in that office. But, I don't think about those things anymore. It's just kind of I'm going to go out there and keep doing my thing and getting guys out and getting deep in the game. And if I can keep doing that, then obviously the rest will take care of themselves.
Warwick, Brendan Wilson here. Congratulations so far on an excellent season. Just talk us through the start of the season. It looks like you started in the pen, but your last three appearances have been starts. Was there any particular reason for that? Was there some shuffling with the big league roster coming out of spring?
Yeah. Look, I was in spring training as a reliever, and that was the plan. But plans sometimes don't go the way they you want them to, but... the big league roster needed a couple guys, and they were starters that went up. So I had to fill the void, and I was lucky enough to old Matt Boyd got scratched before he started. And 15 minutes before the game, I got tapped on the shoulder and say, "Hey, you're going to start the game." And I was lucky enough to go out there and get five innings. And next thing you know, it was 4 days later, I was back on the mound again. So kind of took my chance and went with it, and it's certainly paying off. So just going to keep it going.
Warwick, I've been trying to get you for a couple of weeks, as you know, and yep. I'll take you back to a couple of starts ago where you combined for a no-hitter with three other relievers after you. You threw five strong in that particular game. Did you just know that you were on right from the start? When do you know in your preparation that day that you're really throwing the ball well? Is it in the bullpen to start with, or once you actually get to the game? When did you realise that you were throwing the ball well that day?
I guess it's not, you just know. I feel like you just feel good. Things can change so quickly in this game. And I just felt like I was in the control the whole time. I was setting the pace out there, and it was a good pace. I was getting the ball back and getting back on the mound and trying to throw strikes. And I was lucky enough to throw strikes and get a lot of ground ball outs and keep the innings ticking over. And the boys were lucky enough to put some runs on the board and Bobby and Preston and Kensing came in behind me and shut the door as well. So that was an awesome experience to be a part of. And I'll always remember that no-hitter, that's for sure.
To some extent, it's probably a little bit disappointing that you'd been in the pen, because you get that tap on the shoulder and then you go five strong, don't give up a hit. And they're going to protect you because you've only been throwing 30 pitches over your last four or five appearances. Do you think you could have kept going, or do you think that's the right go? I mean, we saw a guy in the big leagues last week get pulled in the eighth with a no-hitter because his pitch count was at 116. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's how your body feels, but they've been around the game long enough, and they've seen guys go out there and do that kind of thing and probably not bounce back well, and so it was all for a purpose, and I pulled up great. So I probably could have gone, kept going, but you know, that we'll never know. And I pulled up great, and I threw the ball again on 4 days later. So that's all I can ask, and I'm touch wood staying healthy. So
that particular start, how many pitches were you at before they pulled you?
I was probably about 40 was my most in a game, 40 or 50. So, and I think I threw 60 in that game, or 58 pitches. So, when I got the tap on the shoulder, I knew, I've started all through my minor league career. So I knew I had to get out there and eat some innings because the starter went up. So I didn't want to leave it, 6 or 7 or 8 innings to the bullpen. I want to get out there and try and chew up as many innings as I can. And I was lucky enough to get through 5 and hand it over to the bullpen.
You're up again tomorrow, or have you got a day off in there with a travel day?
No, we just had an off day. We had our off day yesterday, so it was good R&R to relax and stuff. And then we got a 10-game homestand starting tonight at home. So we start off against Columbus tonight. So looking forward to that.
And how are they traveling? And you've got a plan? And anyone come down from the big leagues that you're wary of? Any huge prospects? Or are you just taking a pitch by pitch?
They're probably the hottest team in AAA right now. I think they're like 17-9 or something. So they got a lot of guys with big league experience and a lot of guys that can swing it and they can pitch really well too. So they're a good ball club, but we got a plan and we got to execute and not make as many mistakes and just go out there pitch by pitch and try and execute. And that's the biggest thing about this game is whoever executes more is probably going to win the game.
Nice big league cliches there. Yeah. You mentioned, getting ready for the big league with the cliches. Nice work.
You mentioned big league experience.
I'm working on it.
Warwick, you mentioned big league experience. Coming out of spring, was there anyone that you had a good relationship with in spring training to learn some more off? I mean, obviously, you've got a wealth of experience, and you pass that on to the younger guys when you come home and so forth. But did you this particular year, was there anything you learned from any particular guy?
Yeah, I learned a lot this spring. This year was actually my first as a reliever, so I got the chance to go over and back up some big league games, and I actually was fortunate enough to get in 4 big league games and throw 4 innings over there, and actually threw more big league innings than I did in the minor league spring training. So I was over there a lot, and I was sitting in the bullpen with a lot of those guys and watched those guys prepare day in, day out. It's really remarkable, and you kind of sit back and reflect, and actually it's actually a lot of dedication into it. Guys like Francisco Rodriguez and Mark Lowell and Justin Wilson and all these guys that have been doing it for a while and Jordan Zimmerman. I mean, these guys are just absolute athletes, and the way they go about their business and the way they prepare each day and is kind of remarkable. So it was fun to watch, and it was definitely fun to be a part of. And I learned just sitting there and just watching the game. I learned a lot.
Warwick, when it comes to baseball, of course, at the big league level, you have all sorts of extensive scouting on players. Just the question there from Brendan made me think of this one. What sort of scouting reports do you get on the opposition prior to games? Do you have to draw on past experiences, or do you actually, the coaching staff, have scouting reports leading into the particular opponent on that day?
Look, we go through it. We have a scouting meeting before every series. To go over their lineup and their roster. So we sit down and talk about how to approach that. Then we've also got like video and stuff in the clubhouse that we can come and watch. And I normally, after every inning, if I feel like I made a wrong pitch or made a mistake, I want to go, I'll go inside and look at that mistake and make sure it doesn't happen again. So the scouting's, there's a lot of scouting. Definitely up from Double A to Triple A. Being the clubhouse is right here. You can just walk in and check it out. Where in Erie, it was kind of clubhouses in centre field. You can't do that. So definitely a good advantage to have here. But I mean, you still got to go out there and execute, and that's the biggest thing.
The Tigers at the big league level have jumped out a lot better than they did probably in the last couple of years, and probably the only addition to the starting pitching has been Zimmerman, and you mentioned him. Have you been tracking the big league guys, and what else have you been taking out of those guys that they've added to the both the pen and the starting rotation?
Look, you can't kind of read too much into it, because then you kind of, if something happens and you think, oh, maybe it could be me, but, you know, well, that you can't kind of, you just got to take care of your business and, you know, hopefully things work out. But, you know, they added Zimmerman. Zimmerman's doing what Zimmerman does at the moment, so he's having a remarkable year, and that back end of the bullpen is lights out right now, and all that whole bullpen is on the ball really well. So, you know, you got guys like Verlander and Pelfrey that have been around the game long enough and been at pitch to the highest level for a long time. So I have no doubt that those guys will turn it around and put together some quality starts and get Detroit back up to where they want to be, and that's playing for a World Series.
So you would have received a few phone calls in your time where you've been deep into the seventh inning of a MLB The Show game. And the phone rings and you lean over and grab it, and it's the clubby letting you know that you've got to get on a flight in a couple of hours. But if this call does come this year or next year, and we hope it does because you're pitching very well and we want to see another Australian in the big leagues, of course, but what's the first thing you're going to do? Is it going to be, obviously you're going to high-five your roommate and be a very happy man, but is it to call mum or a girlfriend, or is it just to get all your stuff into a bag and get out that door and on that plane?
Look, it's kind of hard to imagine, but I'm sure it's just going to be a really, really cool experience that I'm sure I'll never forget. But, you know, obviously I'll call the parents and the girlfriend as well and stuff like that. And I'm sure my parents would be letting the whole city know too that if that happens. So,
and rightly so.
Mum and Dad like to spread the news pretty quick. So, you know, all I can do is, as I said before, is, you know, I can't wait for that chance, and hopefully I could get that chance and get up there and help the Tigers win a World Series.
Just tell your parents to listen in to SEN Baseball, mate. You always hear it here first. Warwick, a thing that's come into baseball over the last couple of years, there's been pitch clocks and things like that in the minor leagues. Have you had to deal with pitch clocks at all at your level?
Yeah. Look, it's a funny situation because, you know, a lot of guys that come down from the big leagues, they hate it. So it's kind of funny to see. But, man, to be honest, I'm a guy that kind of likes to move quick and get things going, you know. Like, baseball can already be long enough, you know. And so I want to get the ball moving and get things moving as quick as possible and have a good tempo. And, you know, that keeps the infielders on their toes as well. So you don't want to see a guy that get the ball back and walk around the mound and then get back on the mound. You know, it's not what people want to watch. It's, you know, they want to see entertaining baseball. So I haven't seen any violations yet. So I had a few last year, but no violations as of yet.
Warwick, this is our pet topic. We talk about it every single week. It's the DH rule. Where do you stand on hitting, mate? And would you support the American League either getting rid of the DH, or do you like the DH rule? Do you like to hit? Of course you love to hit, but give us your views on the DH.
Yeah, I'd love to pick up a bat, to be honest.
It's a good pitcher. Yeah. It's a good pitcher for you.
I'd love to stand in there against a guy like Kershaw and see what it is live, but, you know, it wouldn't be fun. I mean, definitely for our safety and stuff like that, and we know how hard it is to control a ball too when it's freezing outside or when you're sweating a lot and stuff like that. So you know, it wouldn't be fun, but you know, I think it's the game that it's the way the game was back in the day, and I don't think you need to change it because the game hasn't changed and it was good back then, and I don't know why it should be changed now.
Just up back to yourself and your next start. Are you set to any pitch count limit this next start, or are you just going to send you out and see how deep you can go?
Look, at my last start, I was at through 90 pitches, so my next start should be around 100, 110. So, you know, look, as I said before, and I like to do, I'll go out there and try and get as deep in the game as I can and save that bullpen, because you know, those bullpen guys, especially us in early in the year, have been worn out a lot just with all the moves and stuff going up. So whenever we can give those guys a break, and I'll try my best to do that.
And Warwick, look, we really appreciate your time here today. One last question from me, and that's regards to the WBC in March of next year. Of course, you're part of the qualifier in Sydney. Will you be a part of the Australian team at in the World Baseball Classic next year with Detroit's blessing? How will that be with you?
Yeah, look, that's the plan. You know, I love putting on the green and gold, and it was a fun time in Sydney, and to do that on home soil was a lot of fun. It was a great bunch of guys, and it was a great series to win. So that's the plan. I'd love to be a part of that team. You know, it's as you said, you got to take one day at a time, and you know, still a long season left, and hopefully I do get the chance to put on the green and gold in March next year, and put a show on for the World Baseball Classic, and hopefully get Australia back up on that pedestal, and get baseball well known back in Australia.
Absolutely, mate. There's no doubt in my mind that you should be part of that team, but I'm not a selector, so we'll have to wait and see how that pans out. But, mate,
lay down.
Really appreciate your time today. We know you got a big series coming up against Columbus. So, look, we really appreciate it. Thanks very much for coming on. You're really throwing the ball well. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate the support.
Good on you, mate. Thank you.
This is Liam Hendricks from the Oakland Athletics, and you're listening to SEN Baseball.
And welcome back to SEN Baseball. Lovely chat there with Warwick Saupol. Wish him all the best, of course, in his endeavours over there with the Detroit Tigers, currently at that AAA level. He's really been throwing the ball well, so we wish Warwick all the best. And just following on the theme there of minor league baseball, we're going to go through the other Australians that are currently over there plying their trade through the minor leagues. There was, thanks to the Australian Baseball Alumni and Kingsley Collins for all the work that he does there at the alumni. We're going to run through the current stats for a lot of these guys. Yes, we're a couple of days into May, but this was as of April, the first month of the season. We're going to start with Victoria's own Dan McGrath. Currently on the disabled list is Dan with the Salem Red Sox. Boston Red Sox, of course. He's pitched in two games, got one win, one loss, only thrown the 7.2 innings, six hits, six earned runs, three strikeouts. ERA currently at just over seven, but as I said, currently on the DL.
But apparently being reassigned this week after finding out that his injuries weren't serious, he's going to get back up to Salem and get back throwing. So hopefully he's back on the mound. We can see some stats for him in the middle of this month.
Absolutely. I believe he moved back to Fort Myers to just... He was over the rehab and will be throwing within the next few days, but Dan McGrath will be at it again.
He's had a few injury concerns, hasn't he?
Yeah, they probably look after him a little bit more than they might look after some of the other guys as well, just because he's very good and has a lot of potential. So
lefty.
He says, I'm a little bit sore.
90 plus.
A little bit of cotton wool there, maybe. But also, coming out of spring, he might have had a little bit of dead arm or something, and they just said, yeah, let's just have a week off.
Yeah.
Get a couple of weeks off and get you back
and
right,
the injury,
a long season.
The injury was a play at the plate. He threw a wild pitch, came in to cover a runner coming in from third base, and the collision at the plate just twisted a knee. I believe he's okay. He has family.
That's better than an arm. I'd rather see his knee twisted than his arm.
That's what I can imagine him. If you're ever going to get injured, a left-handed pitcher, do your knee. Don't worry about it.
the name leaves me at the moment, but there is a story of a guy that broke a toe, and he'd thrown 10 years without ever being injured. He broke his toe, kicked it at home. His next start, broke his elbow.
Oh, right.
So it just goes to show that you cannot pitch. Mm-mm-mm. You cannot pitch with a little injury like that, even though it's your knee.
Yeah.
You can't strap it and try and get through because it could change
anything
of your
mechanics.
The kinetic chain
of events. Yeah, and that causes more damage from there on.
So they've got to look after these guys the right way, and they do.
Did you just make that up, Willow?
No, it's true. It is true. No, it's absolutely true. I'll try and find
it. I want the name.
No, he had a huge, long career.
No, but I believe that, by the way.
But broke a toe, kicked the cupboard at home. Mm. And then there's a big major league guy. It was major league baseball. And then, Tommy John, the very next start, like three pitches into his start.
Moving on. We're now going to the big leagues. Of course, Liam Hendricks, Australia's own Liam Hendricks, we had on the show a couple of weeks ago. He's throwing in relief, of course, for the Oakland Athletics at the major league level through April. He pitched in eight games, No wins, no losses. 11.2 innings. People, you've got to understand, he's a reliever. He's that middle guy that comes in after the starter. So 11.2 innings, give up 23 hits, 12 earned runs. Important stat for mine, he hasn't walked anybody, but 14 strikeouts. ERA has dropped from this in the first couple of days of May. His ERA through April was 9.2, but he's down to about the 7.5 mark now into April. So Liam Hendricks at the big league level.
Just wondering what sort of impact moving to the Oakland A's from the Toronto Blue Jays has had on our Liam Hendricks.
I think personally, more than anything, it's in his own mind, he feels kind of wanted. Not wanted, it's not the right term I'm using.
No.
Yep. I think at Toronto, he might have been, do they want me, do they not want me? So he was throwing sort of unsure about where he's going.
That can happen. Which can be positive playing or negative, depending on the person.
Playing for his contract.
Yeah. Can be good or bad, depending on the actual person. I think moving to Oakland, they've thrown him, I think he pitched opening day in a relief position, and he will be a reliever through the, if something drastic happens and they need a spot start, they could probably go to him. Point is, he will probably throw in relief. But I think he felt like going to Oakland, he knew he was going to get a shot. Yeah. And a consistent shot.
Yeah, well, there was a role for him. And also, I mean, we had him on the show a couple of weeks back, and Oakland didn't start that great, and yet he was touting that they were still in it, and that he believed that they had the talent, and that it would be only, you know, days away from it clicking, and have a look at him.
Yeah.
They've been one of the hottest teams in baseball over the last.
I said at the intro there, what are we, 25 in? Only 140 to go.
Yep.
So, you know.
Yeah, but they started out, and they weren't that great out of spring training either. And they looked bad to me. Like, and that looked like a sub-500 team all the way.
Let's face it, if the Minnesota Twins get on a tear, they're back in it too. So anything can happen at this sort of.
They're going to lose 100 games at least.
Yeah, no doubt. We had Warwick Salpold just prior to the break just to talk his current career over there in the US. But his stats through April, he'd thrown in 6 games, 1 win, 1 loss, 18 innings, 10 hits. Just the 1 walk and 7 strikeouts, had an ERA of 3.3. His ERA's down to 2.7 now.
He's the real deal.
And as we talked about, the no-hitter he had going through, a combined no-hitter with 3 other guys, he threw 5 strong innings in that particular game. And currently, the way he's looking, I think he's a real chance to be our next guy, make it to the big league level. As I say, currently 1-1 with an ERA 2.7. Things are looking good for Warwick Salpold.
He's our next best chance.
And he could easily go as a starter or a reliever. He's unlikely to go as a starter because of the stockpile and the experience that Triple A roster has as well as the big league club.
You know, he's not going to push out Zimmerman.
I don't think he's going to push out
Pitcher of the month. Yeah.
Or JV. You're not pushing out JV.
How's Verlander going? Just got engaged to Kate Upton. Yes. How's he travelling?
The big leagues. All the women have long legs and brains.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not too sure about that area with Kate Upton, but it's an argument for another time. Pete Moylan is the next one on our list to discuss. Of course, Pete travelling nicely at the moment with the Omaha Storm Chasers, part of the Kansas City Royals organisation. Pete threw a save yesterday. These are his April numbers. 8 games, 1 win. He's now 1 win, 1 loss with 4 saves. And ERA has just gave up his first run the other day. So his ERA has just ticked over. But Pete Moylan doing beautifully again at the AAA level.
They got him
in
the closer's
role? To move up.
Is he in the closer's role now?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he was set up. Now he's gone to the closing role. Well, he's also pitched in a stop role, though. He came in at in the middle of the fifth and got out of an inning. So he's probably our next guy to get called up. But obviously he's been there before, but he will probably get called up in the next few weeks, I would assume, because there's been a couple of injury concerns, and also one of the key personnel in the Kansas City Royals bullpen is struggling. In Wade Davis is not having a good year, so there's a good chance that there might be some shuffling. And if he keeps pitching like that, they'll have no choice because he always can handle experience in the big leagues.
And he's got a genuine sinker, like a downward moving sinker that's heavy on the bat.
Yeah,
the only thing for him will be velocity. because he, like, at his prime, in his prime, he was like that 94 to 96 down.
Yeah.
And that's disgusting to hit.
Yeah, really tough. We have talked James Beresford. We'll just float over his numbers right now. Through April, 21 games, got 20 hits from 73 at-bats at a 274 average that he did nudge 300 just at the end of the month, ticked over 300, but then fell back under it. But he's another one at that AAA level. We've talked about lack of power and that sort of thing. I see him moving him around the infield a bit too much for my liking. I wish him all the best, just not sure whether he's going to make it.
Unfortunately for Jimmy, he may have missed his window.
I think, like we've said, we've talked
That's
about prospects and so forth. I mean, the problem with Jimmy is that he doesn't have a standout position now, and he's going to get leapfrogged by, if an injury in the big leagues happens, they're going to leapfrog him with a prospect that is playing that position purely, whereas he is a utility guy, and until a utility guy goes down genuinely, he's probably going to struggle in that organisation.
Next on the list is...
Well, just on Jimmy too. I mean, he doesn't have that outstanding game-changing tool either, does he? He's not overly blessed with speed. He's not a base stealer necessarily. Doesn't really drive the ball to the gaps very much. Doesn't hit home runs.
He does everything very well, but nothing outstanding.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Which is great. Great to have on any team. Just unfortunately, as with prospects and so forth, it doesn't get you a shot in the big leagues. Mm.
At the AA level with the Mississippi Braves, we've got Matt Kennelly and Steve Kent out of Canberra, and Kennelly out of Perth, Steve Kent out of Canberra. Kennelly at this stage, 18 games, 10 hits out of 49 at-bats, average just a 204. But again, you've got to be at that level to get a shot. He's not doing much catching. They don't catch him too much these days. He's been DHing and or first base more often than not. Steve Kent out of Canberra, also the Mississippi Braves, has pitched in 5 games, just 7.1 innings. ERA currently sitting at 2.45. Again, a real opportunity, but they're using him in that middle relief kind of chew up some innings guy.
For me, that's just amazing and put some credit back into the ABL, because he pitched with the Braves for 4 years,
yep.
Got injured, had Tommy John surgery, might have even had it twice.
They moved him off to the Royals. He went to the Kansas City Royals for a while, then got released. Yep.
And then has had a couple of years off, and then pitches in the ABL, and he pitched very well for the Canberra Cavalry, and now he's gone straight back to AA. That's an outstanding story. It's good for baseball. It's good for the ABL. And good luck to Steve.
Absolutely.
Says something for his talent too, by the way.
Well, absolutely. He's a lefty that throws hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Victorian. He's a Victorian. Sam Gibbons.
Hey.
Daniel Wade, JC. Starting pitcher with the Cedar Rapids Colonels. He is in the Minnesota Twins organization.
It's a beautiful city, Cedar Rapids.
Is it?
Fortunately, I got up there, flew in. I was about an hour ahead of the team. Couldn't get on the phone to anyone and walked up and down one street that is not very big. And it was about...
Sounds like Cletus
territory.
It was about
4 degrees. There's a movie called Cedar Rapids, and it is...
Yeah, right.
It is just... It's a nothing town.
There's nothing.
I hope he's found something to do up there that
he's playing
more,
baseball, mate. He's got something to do.
Before the game and after the game, I'm telling you, there's not a lot to do, but that puts his focus on baseball, and he's having an okay year, so good luck.
Yeah, there at Cedar Rapids, 4 games. He just took a loss yesterday, so he's now 1-3. Probably thrown about 25 innings. The ERA is sitting around 6.5, so not where you want it to be. You want to down around that 3 and under mark. But Sam Gibbons in the starting position, which is we don't have a lot of guys throwing in a starting role. Warwick Saupold and now Sam Gibbons. So he's doing okay. Long way to go in the season. In the relief, this out of New South Wales, Todd Van Steensel is over there with the... Fort Myers Miracle with the Minnesota Twins. He pitched another game yesterday, so he's now been in 9 games, thrown 11 innings. His ERA is now at a 1.38. So he's doing nicely in that setup / closing role there for the Fort Myers Miracle with the Minnesota Twins. Alan De San Miguel, he's at the AA level with the Kansas City Royals, the Arkansas Naturals, he's playing for.
But getting signed out of the World Baseball Classic qualifier that held in Australia just recently, having an outstanding series there, hitting four or five home runs and getting signed out of that competition. What a great effort.
Great effort. He's mixing it up between catching and some infield work.
Really?
But DeSean,
first base?
Yeah, DeSean is he's only played in a couple of games. Current average is at 251 for four through April. That has dipped a little bit for Alan De San Miguel. But moving on to Logan Wade, his father Greg Wade was a long-time Queensland guy. Fort Myers Miracle also with the Minnesota Twins. Played yesterday. He's now played 20 games. His numbers through April were 19 games, 13 hits from 71 at-bats. Only good for a 191 average. But he's playing every day, but again, they're mixing him up. He's playing some infield and some outfield, but more importantly, getting to play every day, which is, I think, an important thing.
Just trying to find his spot, I think, because he's very, very athletic and very talented. And I think they're just trying to identify where does his best position translate to his best approach in the box, because they can be quite related. If he's not comfortable playing outfield, then he's probably not going to be confident in his game in the batter's box. So moving him around, trying to find what's best, and using him, obviously they're still trying to win as they develop him. They want to develop the winning culture as well. So wherever he fits in the team, but to suit the individual.
That's a good point. Having a position does affect your approach at the plate. There's no doubt about that. I think he's a natural outfielder. Watching him, he's athletic. He's got a really good arm. I feel if they could settle him in the outfield, then that'd help his approach at the plate. If you're moving around a lot, unless you're a genuine utility guy,
Brock Holt type guy,
it can really screw with your approach. But I agree with you there. But I think he's a natural outfielder.
Out of New South Wales, Zach Shepherd. With the Detroit Tigers, the Lakeland Flying Tigers, he's playing for at the moment. That's a high A team for the Detroit Tigers. Through April, he's in 19 games, 14 for 66. Good for a 212 average. Struck out too many times for mine, 25 strikeouts in that first month. But another guy that's getting to play every day, generally infielder, third base, is Zach Shepherd, and he's playing every day, I think, is a sign of faith from the club, from the coaching staff. So I think Zach Shepherd will only get better as the season goes along. And the last one that we've got here on the Australian side of things from Melbourne, the Marauders, Brendan Marauders, he's playing for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Sam Street, only appeared in six games, 10 innings. He's given up six hits, ERA of 1.8. Whip of 1.3. Willow.
Yeah, he's actually home at the moment, and we're not 100% sure why, but just obviously hope that everything's okay with Sam and his family, because if you're home at this time, it's probably not a good thing. So hope everything's okay and he can get back over there, because he's someone that has really surprised a lot of people with that sidearm action, getting results, and he's probably going to progress through this Pittsburgh Pirates organization pretty well. I don't know where he's going to end up, because he doesn't throw overly hard or anything, but he keeps getting outs. And if you keep getting outs, you're going to keep getting opportunity.
And he'll
keep progressing. He's progressed from last year to this year, and he's having results again. So I hope that everything's okay for the reasons that he's home, or that it becomes okay and he can get back over there and see. He could end up in AA at the end of this year, 2 years out of college, and pushing for a spot or pushing guys out just because he gets outs.
Absolutely.
I think that's the key, what you've just said there, out of college. I think, college has put him in good stead.
Yeah, it's set him up to understand the business that he was about to go into. Guys, we've only got a minute to go before we wrap this up, but straight after the show last week, of course, the way the world turns, 10 minutes after we completed the show last week, Grant Balfour officially announced his retirement from baseball. So Grant Balfour has been a tremendous servant of Australian baseball and had a terrific major league career. He ended up with 30 wins, 23 losses, 84 saves, 561 strikeouts. Was really terrific with the Oakland Athletics, where that Balfour rage came into play, and certain areas of the crowd really were just manic for when Grant Balfour would come into games. Terrific with the Tampa Bay Rays. Hopefully we might see Grant back here in the Australian Baseball League, possibly in the World Baseball Classic next year. I'm sure they'll be having conversations with him about that. But just from everybody here at SEN Baseball, terrific career by Grant Balfour. Congratulations. Time to move on. But that's the end of the show we've got here, guys. Thanks very much for your time today here on SEN Baseball. JC, good luck with whatever you're doing this week.
Oh, come on, man. You know I coach the Saints.
Yes, I'm concerned about the cap you're wearing, though. Yeah. That's
my Richmond membership cap. I'm putting my money where my mouth is, mate. I'm a Inner Sanctum member at Richmond. So are you a member at North Melbourne?
I've heard about your efforts at the MCG.
You're certainly not a member of North Melbourne, are you?
Absolutely not. No. That's
Britta, thanks for having us, Willow. Thank you. Great to see you. Haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you. Good luck this afternoon.
Good start, JC. Good on you, Willow. Thanks very much.
Pleasure.
We'll speak next time.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to SEN Baseball.
Thanks for listening to the SEN MLB podcast. For more SEN America podcasts, head to sen.com.au. To keep up to date with the latest American sports news and interviews from around SEN, follow SEN America on Twitter at SEN America and on Facebook at facebook.com/SEN America.